BetterHelp is one of the biggest YouTube sponsors of the past decade and was exposed for exploiting vulnerable users, using unqualified therapists, and selling sensitive user data. It seemed like the scandal was the end of them, with tens of thousands of users unsubscribing, hundreds of angry comments on videos sponsored by BetterHelp, and their parent company stock crashing 97%. But now, they're back, sponsoring more creators than ever. But are they actually better? Anxiety, depression, and many other mental health disorders are huge challenges for many. Not only that, but they've been on the rise for some time. Yet, simultaneously, traditional therapy is inaccessible to many people. It's expensive, it requires physical presence, and is frankly just less flexible than what online services usually offer. That's where BetterHelp came in. They launched in 2013 and they seemed like a game changer. Patients signed up and were matched with a therapist and had sessions via call, text, video, whichever they were most comfortable with. If they didn't connect with their therapist, they could be matched to a new one. No cost, no hassle. Not only that, but it was cheaper than most traditional practices, meaning that therapy was now far more accessible to those who needed it, which is great. Over the coming years, BetterHelp started building momentum. By 2018, they were sponsoring thousands of YouTubers, and the company exploded in popularity. The pandemic had confined everyone indoors, and demand for remote therapy was at an all-time high. BetterHelp naturally capitalized on this opportunity by spending more than $7 million on podcast sponsorships in December of 2020 alone. They spent $38.7 million in total for 2020, making them the highest spender on podcasts. But during BetterHelp's rise, the cracks slowly began to appear. Firstly, users started reporting some strange experiences with their platform, many of which had a common theme.
My first therapist was 10 minutes late to our 10-minute meeting, our first initial meeting, and then she was like, oh wow, we don't have a lot of time. And then she kept trying to sell me her book. So I contacted them and I got a different therapist. He was also late and just completely missed our first meeting. He missed that one, and then he just texted like, oh man, I'm so sorry, I was at my other job. And I was just like, what the f-?
The quality of therapists varied wildly. Some saw their therapist cooking or shopping mid-session, which naturally makes patients feel uncomfortable. One patient, after discussing career goals, had her therapist send her a patronizing YouTube video to watch after their session that told her, "It's natural to want to do big things, even if it's never going to happen for you." Another patient had the therapist encourage them to put their baby up for adoption because their friend really wanted a baby. One Reddit user shared a horrifying experience. He implied that his life was almost perfect and that I should be like him. At a certain moment, he wanted to imply I had signs of narcissism in me, and having suffered from narcissistic abuse pretty much my whole life, that was very hard to hear. I had never felt this unsafe with a therapist before. He admitted himself to being a narcissist. I couldn't stop crying, and every time I tried to say something, I would cry even more. He then said, "Now you have 1 minute to share your final thoughts before our time is over." Thankfully, this user received the therapy they needed outside of BetterHelp. However, despite their trauma and only using the service for less than a week, BetterHelp only refunded 50% of the month's subscription. Putting the money aside though, what the hell was going on there? How are so many BetterHelp therapists so awful? Well, as it turns out, BetterHelp employed many unqualified therapists. According to them, it was the patient's job to verify if the therapist was qualified.
This one says that they don't guarantee the verification of the skills, degrees, qualifications, certification, credentials, competence, or background of any counselor. With BetterHelp, you'll be talking to professionals. Just be aware that it's your responsibility to determine whether they are or not. It's your responsibility to determine whether they have any degree or qualification or certification or all these things.
Once users learned of this, the controversy exploded. BetterHelp quickly removed this from their terms in 2018, but the damage had already been done. The evidence was damning. If vulnerable patients experience horrible therapy, it can very well prevent them from getting help in the future, even from traditional practices.
My one session with a BetterHelp therapist re-traumatized me to the point where I don't know if I'll ever go back to therapy again.
Shockingly, that's not even the end of it. BetterHelp was concealing another massive problem that caught the eyes of the US government. Somehow, BetterHelp returned. The company has recently emerged with a wave of new YouTube sponsorships and a brand new marketing campaign. In Q3 of 2022, they sponsored 392 YouTube videos. 1 year later, they sponsored just under 2,000 videos. In March of 2024 alone, they spent $8.2 million on podcast advertising. Their marketing strategy is aggressive, as they are determined to recover their brand image and to claim back their market share. But have they improved their service? Well, their number of therapists has increased dramatically. In 2021, they had a total of 16,000 therapists, but by 2024, they have 34,000, a massive leap. What BetterHelp really needed, though, wasn't quantity. It was quality. BetterHelp states that it only accepts 15% of therapists who apply, but the testimonies are still concerning. In 2024, a clinical psychologist tried the platform as a client and had a strange experience with their therapist. Seemed ill at ease and unsure how to proceed, she made inappropriate self-disclosures about her own health problems. When I mentioned the problem with night eating, I saw a worried expression come across her face, and she mentioned that she struggled with the same problem. Without much assessment, she offered solutions that were absurd. She suggested I monitor the night eating and give yourself a star as a reward. He described that his second therapist threw out a bunch of tips from her therapy trick bag and hoped that some might stick. And while they seemed like plausible solutions, she didn't investigate my experience in detail enough to know if they could be appropriate. The structure and setup of the platform may make therapists jittery, pressing them into achieving quick results and using superficial interventions. Another user who tried the platform stated, "My therapist was great, but definitely was not 100% present. She seemed distracted." BetterHelp still seems to place an emphasis on quantity over quality. This is bad, but it's made even worse by how BetterHelp markets its service. In 2020, the journalism website Jezebel began investigating something unsettling. As it turned out, BetterHelp was taking users' extremely personal information and selling them to advertisers. Jezebel stated that they began to silently slip data to dozens of third parties, monitoring our behavior online and signaling to companies like Facebook and Google and Snapchat and Pinterest that we were considering BetterHelp treatment. Facebook, for instance, is alerted every time a person opens the app, essentially signaling to the social media company how often we were going to a session and when we booked our appointments. BetterHelp didn't even deny the allegations, as they didn't see the issue. They stated that their methods were standard and that they typically far exceed all applicable regulatory, ethical, and legal requirements. However, this didn't exactly comfort users. Word of these practices soon spread, and people were outraged. This was an immense breach of privacy. Many online platforms do sell user data, but this was different. Traditional therapy has something called patient privilege. Information shared between a patient and their therapist is completely confidential because the details are extremely personal. Maybe it could be argued that app users' data is not technically covered by patient privilege, but it's definitely in gray area. I suppose BetterHelp forgot to mention this in their list of benefits over traditional practices. A storm was growing around BetterHelp, and it was about to get worse. The US Federal Trade Commission took action against BetterHelp, and the list of accusations was damning. To capitalize on these consumers' health information, BetterHelp handed it over to numerous third-party advertising platforms, including Facebook, Pinterest, Snapchat, and Criteo, often permitting these companies to use the information for their own research and product development as well. BetterHelp also failed to provide consumers with proper notice as to the collection, use, and disclosure of their health information. The company didn't admit to any charges, but was ordered to pay $7.8 million in refunds to 800,000 patients, which equated to a pitiful $10 per person. Most importantly, though, BetterHelp was forbidden from sharing consumers' personal information for retargeting, among many other restrictions. BetterHelp's reputation was ruined, and many YouTubers promoting them started receiving severe backlash. After this, BetterHelp went quiet, at least for a while.
BetterHelp.
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 Therapy can be expensive, and the price of finding a therapist that you like and connect with can be overwhelming, which is why BetterHelp offers a more affordable alternative to in-person therapy.
But therapy can seem like this big, intimidating thing, right?
Well, that's where BetterHelp comes in, because their goal is to make therapy less intimidating and more accessible.
They consistently position themselves as the cheaper, more accessible alternative to traditional practices. On their landing page, they list all kinds of benefits you get with BetterHelp, which you don't have at in-office practices. Benefits include messaging, texting, phone calls, video calls, worksheets, and much more. The problem with this is that most of this is complete nonsense. Most professional in-office therapists offer most of these benefits, but that doesn't stop BetterHelp from putting a big red cross in all of these. BetterHelp isn't a replacement for traditional therapy. In fact, they even say this themselves. Our services may not be appropriate for every particular situation and/or a substitute for certain mental health needs that might require in-person therapy services. The terms also continue to say, do not disregard, avoid, or delay in obtaining in-person care from your doctor or other qualified professional because of information or advice you received through the platform. BetterHelp's therapists also cannot diagnose any conditions, even though many are qualified to do so. It's fine for BetterHelp to supplement other health services. It's also fine for BetterHelp to not diagnose patients, given that appointments are over call or text. But BetterHelp doesn't advertise themselves as an addition to existing therapy. Their marketing promotes them as the solution and replacement. It leads people into using their service, even if it's not the best solution for them. But that's not even the end of it. If we look at the big picture, something else is going on at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is actually owned by another company, Teladoc, which hasn't been doing so hot. Their shares peaked in 2021 at $293, and today, they are down over 97% to $8 a share, and their income is even worse. The company has burnt billions getting to where they are, and they still aren't profitable, having burnt $1 billion in the most recent 12-month period. We don't have BetterHelp-specific financial data, but the data that we do have is already not in their favor. In Q3 of 2023, BetterHelp had 459,000 paying users. Next quarter, that dropped to 425,000, then down to 415,000. These numbers continue to drop in 2024, which illuminates what's actually happening with BetterHelp. Their recent surge in marketing isn't a triumphant, defiant return. It's a last attempt to survive. The controversies caused an exodus of users, and it seems that BetterHelp is struggling to hold on to the rest or replace the ones that are leaving. The company may have inflicted too much self-harm to bounce back. I know this video has largely been critical of BetterHelp, but BetterHelp is a great idea, just with poor execution. It solves a lot of problems and does fill a need, but the company has one massive issue. Priorities. One doctor put this perfectly. BetterHelp has the wrong incentives in mind and is not run clearly by people who have expertise in mental health. It's really run by people who have expertise in scaling tech companies. There is a need for accessible, affordable support, but BetterHelp has their priorities all wrong. They don't focus on quality or providing the best care. They focus on scale and dominating the market. We can clearly see this in a recent comment from Teladoc CFO. BetterHelp right now still has room to grow on the direct-to-consumer side. We have scale. I would expect us to continue to grow and drive efficient returns and cash flows for that business. BetterHelp may very well have room to grow, but they've hurt their chances by damaging their own brand. BetterHelp doesn't need to be bigger. It needs to be better. If you're interested in deeper dives, interviews with insiders, and exclusive tech analysis, you can sign up to our free weekly newsletter. Link is below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.